Well, I love being here, and I love what's about to happen, that we all get a fellowship around the Word, because that's what makes it the best. But before we do that, I know you got something to tell me. So let's do our affirmations together. I know Chris has got this ready to go. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Those are so true. Isn't that fabulous? Before, oh gosh, there's so many things. Okay, to begin with, I want to thank you for your charity. You guys are amazing when it comes to giving. And there's so much blessing in that. You know, you look like, when am I going to, you know, you say, when am I going to see the hand of God? Well, you are. Trust me. You're surrounded by it. He holds you. He never lets you go. And I want to thank you for your charity. I use the word charity, well, maybe haphazardly, but it's a word that the world uses. But I want to thank you for your agape. That's the Greek word that charity comes from. I want to thank you for your agape, specifically your financial and material contributions to the church. And without that, number one, we wouldn't be living in the grace of God. And also, we would not be flourishing like we are as a body of believers. Now, the reason I say that is because this is impossible to not notice it. Like John, he gave me a shirt and shorts, and Joe gave me a bunch of clothes. I didn't have to go to the store. And let me tell you, I didn't want to go to the store, but I needed some things, and they gave them. That's charity. That's agape. That's giving. And I'm so blessed. But why do I bring that up? Ah, well, we have to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I want to show you how you can prove that I'm right. Okay, the last verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24. It says, and I'm going to try to read this in Spanish too, but I'll give you the English first. Wherefore, show ye to them. That word show, the very last verse, is indexing, and it means publicly declare. That's what that word means. Wherefore, publicly declare to them, and this is talking about the church. And before the churches, the proof of your love. Actually, that's the word indexing. Sorry, I don't have my Greek in front of me. Proof is indexing. The proof of your love. The proof of your agape. And of our boasting on your behalf. The word show means publicly declare. Wherefore, publicly declare to them and before the churches the proof of your love. Prove it of your agape. Prove that you walk by agape and of our boasting on your behalf. And I am boasting. I'm so proud of you guys. Unbelievable to see where you're at in your lives and to understand more of where your hearts are centered. Focus on God in His Word. Mostrad pues para con ellos ante las iglesias en Puebla. I'm not doing this right. De vuestro amor y de nuestro gloriarnos respecto de vosotros. That's it in Spanish. And we really need to continue publicly declaring our agape. I'd like to read to you the intro to The Grace of Giving, which was published in 2002. And if you don't have a copy, contact Joe, please. You should learn this book backwards and forwards. And I want to read the introduction to you. The Grace of Giving brings the benefits of Christian financial and material giving to light and provides specific biblical answers to the many facets of this subject. It shows the Christian what God will do for him or her if the dynamic principles of abundant sharing are closely followed. Biblical support is provided for each topic. The clear-cut information that follows will enable all Christians to better understand this issue and, most importantly, follow God's will regarding sharing of His own abundance and reap the benefits by so doing. Now, I can't forget all the labor of love, which is the phrase that many use to represent labor of agape, that Jaylene and so many others, Joe, Gary, put into this book years ago so that it could be published. And I go on to say, the text is written in an easy-to-follow and highly practical research style that anyone, from a beginning biblical student to a seasoned scholar, can understand. The main focus of this study is taken from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. So if you want to know where to go in the Bible to read about abundant sharing, that's it. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, that's what they're for. Now there's other mentions and practical applications of it, like in Acts and a couple other places, but the doctrine is established in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. As much as possible, the chapters of this book start with 2 Corinthians 8:1. Oh, maybe we should read that. 2 Corinthians 8:1. And I'll jump back to the intro after I read that. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. That's a funny way to say, we want you to know. That's old English. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So that was the center of teaching this doctrine. And then it moved to Corinth. But the believers in Macedonia were all fired up on abundant sharing. In fact, that's what chapter 7 teaches. So, God wants us to know, and that's how this section on abundant sharing opens up, that abundant sharing is really all about the grace of God. Okay? And I already read that. Hacemos hermanos, hacemos saber la gracia de Dios que se ha dado a las iglesias de Macedonia. And so, the Bible, God's will, documented in writing, is the sole source of study for this book. The King James Bible is the primarily quoted version, with others referenced as necessary. Any Greek references are taken from the 1550 Stephen's Greek text, from which the King James Version is translated. When literals according to usage are provided, they are based on the author's understanding both of Greek and of that particular passage. If a word is noted in strikeout form, this indicates that it does not belong in the English version due to a lack of supporting Greek text. It's just not in there, so don't read it. You know, you got to have some guts when it comes to that. You read. That's why we use the King James, because all the added words are in italics, so you can read where the translators actually put something in that they shouldn't have. But maybe it makes it flow better. I don't know. Be careful with it, though. And so, but you got to get to the place where you're not worried about reading over an italicized word. You know, that takes gumption. Be proud of yourself for accepting that truth. The phrase "not in the text" also means that there is no supporting Greek text. References to figures of speech are taken from the Companion Bible by E.W. Bullinger, as well as his book on the same, called Figures of Speech Used in the Bible. In order to avoid cumbersome reading, when more research support is necessary, appendices are included and referenced. These are available to the reader who is interested in gaining further insight into a particular subject or Greek word. When noted, terms are defined in footnotes. Several examples of consistently used terms throughout the book are as follows. And I did this so I didn't have to keep repeating footnotes. Like, for instance, what is a Christian? A Christian is one who has confessed Romans 10:9. And then I footnoted Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, glory, hallelujah. So now I don't have to say that every time I use the word Christian in the Bible. And so on and so forth. The word church. The term church has a dual meaning. With the capital letter C, it refers to the Church of Jesus Christ, a spiritual entity comprised of all Christians independent of denomination. With a lowercase c, it refers to organized groups of people making up denominational meetings, and other purposeful groups. In this book, these churches are always associated with Christian groups. Leadership. Leadership refers to Christian leadership, those in positions of responsibility with people under their guidance. The return of Jesus Christ. The return of Jesus Christ refers to Jesus Christ returning from heaven to gather his saints unto him. Makes me want to play that German Christian song, Über den Wolken, where we know that God is watching and waiting. It gives me chills. I love that song. The saints are all Christians, whether they have already died or are still alive. It is best defined by the following verse. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Not on this earth, in the air, it says. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, you should be shouting glory hallelujah now. We now have established the background and chronological framework for the rest of this research study. And I would like to add that I have spent decades on this subject. Decades. This was my, in order to get my theological degree, theology degree? Whatever it is. I had to do a thesis and a paper and that kind of thing. And I spent pretty much my entire time, 4 years in that program, researching this subject, to the point that I wrote a paper on it. But this never left my heart. And I just kept going. And the one thing that spurred me further on was when I got to one characteristic of agape. And it was kind. And I would ask people, well, what does kind mean? And they would say, well, it means to be nice. And they could never answer that. And so when I saw such a need, I realized that it existed with abundant sharing as well. If I asked people, well, how do you give in the church? And they would say, well, the tithe. But then I would remember some of my research, and I knew that the word tithe never appeared. Not once in the epistles. Not once. It shows up twice in the New Testament, but only as Old Testament references. It's never doctrine. It's never taught about. It's never proclaimed as what they did, ever. Not once. So I said, I think we need to take this further. And that's when I decided to write a book. And that's what this study is all about. Keeping these points in mind, we are ready to begin a study of financial and material giving in the Christian church. The following topics are the most significant ones within this subject and will bring great clarity to the what, how, when, standards, benefits, and purposes of abundant sharing. Due to the research nature of this information, it is important to read this book from cover to cover, thus obtaining a full scope of this subject. I'll give you an example of what will happen if you don't. One guy, actually a brother of mine, a brother in Christ, became so offended when he didn't read the book, but read what I had just said about the word tithe. Well, that can't be. You can't say that. You know, so-and-so has always taught us that we're supposed to tithe. And you're wrong, you know. And okay. But if he would have read the rest of the book, he would have realized that the word tithe never shows up in the New Testament as doctrine. And he would have seen the doctrine that does show up. Anyway, cover to cover. Thus obtaining a full scope of this subject. What a thrilling opportunity is set before us as God reveals in His Word the truth of what abundant sharing really means to our lives. Well, that is the intro. And I thought, okay, which chapter, which section, which main area of study should I share today? Because there's so many to choose from. And I chose the purposes of abundant sharing. And that's why we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 14. And this is purpose number one. Purpose number one of abundant sharing is to provide equality. Anytime you abundantly share, you are doing this. You are providing equality. Well, what does that mean? Well, that's why we have to read the verses. Verse 14 says, "But by an equality that now at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." Isn't that fantastic? I love that verse. I'll try it in Spanish. Sino para que en ese tiempo con igualdad la abundancia vuestra supla la escasez de ellos, para que también la abundancia de ellos supla la necesidad vuestra para que haya igualdad. It's the same thing, but by inequality. Wow. Equality comes from the Greek word isotēs. Sounds kind of English, doesn't it? Isotēs. Triangles? Same length? Isotēs, meaning likeness in terms of condition or proportion. In the church, each person can be taken care of, and so that there is no lack. No lack. Now, the Bible defines what no lack means. It's not a free-for-all, of course. Never is. Never will be. Not under my watch. But no lack of the basic necessities of life, which include food, shelter, and clothes. And in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 13, you have to understand why that is. Because if you pull out all the stops and think you just have to keep giving and taking care of this thing that comes up and that thing that comes up and whatever, it won't work. Verse 13, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. When abundantly sharing, there's not to be any burdens at all. And just because somebody gets a need taken care of and then all of a sudden you're burdened, and the Bible defines what that, how that will happen, that's not right. There's no equality there. I mean, I want your needs to be eased, but I don't want to be burdened. I don't want you to be burdened because my needs are eased. Okay, that's what it's saying. Very, very important. Perhaps many have never seen the greatness of abundant sharing and operations among Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Supplying the want of the saints refers to what we learned in verse 14 of chapter 8, but by inequality, that now at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. The word want also comes from the Greek word husterema. When one has lack, the abundance of another will help fill up that lack. People's lack must be considered and cared for. Spiritually perceptive leadership will recognize these and administer gifts appropriately. Once a church grows so large that the leader loses contact with each person, special attention must be placed on who administers abundant sharing. And let's read Romans 15 and start with verse 25. This is where I'm saying the main doctrine of abundant sharing is in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. But now you can go to other places to find more scope about it when it was applied. Romans chapter 15, verse 25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Verse 26. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia, which is Greece, to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And so that is supplying the want of the saints. Something that stood out to me as I was refreshing myself on these things is something I never really considered. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, when Paul talks about a year ago, if you're familiar with the chapter, he says, a year ago you were willing. Abundant sharing was collected, like in that case, on an annual basis. And then they traveled. There were 8 other guys with them, and Luke was with Paul, actually. And they traveled with all this wealth. And the Jews would condemn him for that. The Jews hated this. And that's what that context is. But it wasn't like everybody would come to fellowship and every week give. But they would, but that was not distributed to the headquarters, so to speak, but maybe once a year. And then it was distributed out. And so that's how people's needs were taken care of, like in lump sum things, chunks. Very interesting. I just never really thought about that before. And I suppose another thing I thought about, I'll use my other Bible for that because I know right where it is. But in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 15, and this might answer some questions you've had. Let's say you want to be rich. Let's say you got something in your head. You want to be rich. And then, yet, every time you get money, it's gone. But it's always enough. And you have to ask, well, why is that? Because it happens so scientifically to everybody that there's got to be something spiritual/biblical about it, right? That's what I think. Well, anyway, here we are. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 15. And I've taught on this. I can't remember if I taught this as a live teaching or in an audios, but I know it just came up. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over. He that hath gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. So this reference comes out of the Old Testament when God gave the believers manna from heaven. And they were told to go out and collect it if they took, and they could collect it for like a neighbor, maybe somebody was sick that day or couldn't walk or needed help or whatever. So they could collect it for a neighbor, and they could collect more than they needed, which was an abundance, and then give it to the neighbor. But if they took too much for themselves, it was rotten the next day. It never lasted. So the context was how the manna worked. And so God's going to give you everything you need. But if you have too much, and that would be his opinion, not yours, then it's going to go. It's not going to be there. And that's why he makes such a big deal out of you give out of that which you have to give, not out of that which you have not. I didn't even read that one. And I'll probably get to it today. Oh, I went to the wrong column. Oh, you can look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. Verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, because you know the famous abundant sharing verse, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, you're ready to do this. So there may be a performance. Oh my goodness, it's like when you flip a light switch, there's a performance there. It's called current. Currency. When you're dealing with financial matters, there's currency. There's current. And so it says, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there first, and this is why grace is so vital, because it signifies, it highlights, it publicly declares your willing heart, your openness to stand before God and take what he gave you that others so tightly cling to, but you're willing to just give it. It's amazing. And there's something spiritual about receiving from God and having an abundance where you can do this. It's all about God, because your wealth, your abundance comes from God. It didn't come from you. Don't you dare think it does, because it doesn't. God's abundance comes from God. And I'll be real honest with you, and I hope you're as honest as I am. I don't want any abundance that didn't come from God. I don't want anything to do with that. I want God's abundance. I want God's wealth. I want God's grace. That's all I want. I don't want anything else. And if I happen upon something else that isn't from God, no thank you. No thank you. I'll turn the other way. Thank you very much. That's my mindset. And so there's a performance that takes place in these things. There's so much spirituality that you are capable of activating because of who you are, because of Christ in you. You are God's temple, and he lives in you, but he wants his word to live all about you. He wants you to be the one who publicly declares his presence. That's what he wants. For if there first, verse 12, first be a willing mind, it is accepted. Now this is God saying his acceptance qualifications. God to man, if you want to do this and you want a performance, then it's got to be acceptable to me. That's what this is saying. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Yes, you could say that as loud as you want, and as many times as you want. If you don't have to give, don't. Don't go put it on a credit card and say, oh, God's going to take care of me. Well, maybe he will, and maybe he won't, but you're risking a lot there. Because he says right here, the only time you give, and this is acceptable to me, is if you have it to give. If you don't have it to give, you don't have to. But I have a counter to that. Because way over in chapter 9, it says in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly, sparingly shall reap also. He which soweth bountifully, and I changed the order of those words because that's how it is in the text, bountifully shall reap also. If you want to play the game, baby, you can throw in a penny. Try two. Or what was the lady in the Gospels, a mite? I guarantee you the principle still works. Start somewhere. That's what I always contend. Start somewhere, but don't be on the outside looking in. Join. Let us be a family, a collective body of grace-blessed believers. So I just love that verse 12. And of course, then we read, for I mean not that other men ease in ye burdened. If you try to give and you don't have it, if you're outside of your means, you're going to be burdened. And that's not right. That's not right. Like, for instance, if I say you have to give the tithe, you have to give 10%. But what if you only have 6%? You don't have to give. And yeah, you could make changes. But let's say you've gone through all the changes And now you know your numbers. And you still don't have 10%. Well, if I gave it first, then I'll just do without electricity. Or I'll do without potatoes that week. Or whatever you come up with. But you still don't have it. You got to be careful with that one. Don't put yourself in bondage when it comes to giving in the church. Just don't do it. It's not required, and it's not respected by God. He loves when you follow His word. But my counter will always come up. I've never seen a person without a penny. And I would never scoff if somebody says, "This is all I have to give." Praise be to God. Thank you for humbling yourself to His almighty word. Thank you. That's what I say. And I believe that. And I've been there. I was in the military. John knows what it's like to be in the military and get those paychecks. Oh, man, they're so big. Well, when I was in, they weren't so big. And there were times when I had nothing, almost. But I did have a few coins and no purse. And boy, they got chunked in. And you know what? I never went without, ever. I mean, even to the point that I was driving to a ministry event in upstate New York. On a Saturday morning, we left early and had a flat tire. And none of the shops were open. Everything was desolate. The highways were desolate. And there we sat, a van full of believers and a flat tire. And we could not go anywhere. And we didn't know what to do. And I didn't have any money. But they wanted me to spend it anyway. And so I said, well, you know what? The Bible says, so let's put it to the test. There's something about this performance thing. And I'm not wrong for bringing it up because the word's still there. And so we prayed. And I was the one that led the faith aspect of that because everybody else was just so upset. And I said, well, God's going to take care of us. And guess what? Right across the street, and none of us had even seen it up until this point, a garage door went up and it was a tire repair shop. And that guy fixed our tire for free. And we were on our way. And that's how God took care of us. I get chills even today. And I got to witness my public conviction of God's word to those people and to that man in that garage. And the story just spread like wildfire when we got up to the ministry event. Because people love hearing about God. That wasn't about me. Me coming up from Belize, that's not about me. That's about God's blessings. When I made the decision to come here, I'll be real honest, I didn't know how I was going to do it. But I said, whoa, yes, you do. You make the choice. And I made the choice. And from that moment on, it was just all green lights. I didn't see a couple of them until I got around the corner. But it was a green light waiting. And that's the way it is. And by the grace of God, I'm here. Okay. I don't know if you could ever even fully grasp that. And I don't expect you to. I'm not asking you to. But just based on what I've come from, what I've come through, and then to be here, yeah, that's a story in and of itself. And so it lives for me. But because it lives for me, I can give you that kind of life. And it's all about abundant sharing. It's all, maybe I should say it differently. It's all about the grace of God. Because I want the grace of God to live in my life. I don't want to be like a non-gracer. I don't know what you'd say. I don't want to be an eraser. I want to be a gracer. And so we all have the privilege to live according to His word in this regard. Purpose number two. Abundant sharing encourages many thanksgiving unto God. And we can read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, which we've talked about, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. I know you guys want to be thankful. I know you want to thank God for everything He's done for you. And do you know, this is like plugging the giant plug into the outlet that gets its power from Niagara Falls or something. And you are energizing a tremendously overwhelming activity. Thanksgivings. It just starts firing them up to heaven like a fireworks into the sky. That's what abundant sharing does. Thank you, God. 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 Every time you take, it's like a sacrifice. Every time you take what He's given to you and you give according to His will, which we've talked about, to a degree, you're activating thanksgiving. It's just like saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. You don't even have to say it. It says it. The act, the performance says it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Wow. Wow. Oh my gosh. So we've learned out of one verse, two purposes. That's so amazing. When people give, not only do others' deficiencies get taken care of, but also many thanksgivings go to God. And I'll tell you what, God likes that. He loves being thanked. And so he started abundant sharing so that it's just a constant flow. Well, I hope it is. But if they're all just teaching the tithe, they're not even teaching this stuff, so it doesn't even get activated. But we're activated. Okay? Yeah, we are. God instructs His people to be thankful, and the very nature of abundant sharing yields thankfulness. When one gives from the heart with a willing mind, and when the gift is given out of abundance, everyone has equality. Well, I'm going to reserve this moment to share one verse that is the hallmark for abundant sharing. And then I'll share purpose number 3, and that's the last purpose that I'll talk about today. The hallmark verse for abundant sharing, the one verse regarding abundant sharing that you should have etched in your mind, in your heart, is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not of necessity. Oop, there it is again. Not of necessity. Wow. Or grudgingly, or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. According as he purposeth in his heart. That is the key phrase for determining when, how, where, why, and every aspect of abundant sharing is derived from. Purposeth is the Greek word proeriomai. Pro can mean several different things. Before a door, before in time, before in choice, where you choose ahead of time. And that's what this is. Purposeth in his heart. Ariomai is a choosing. It means choosing, to choose. So you choose before. Before what? Well, before you come to fellowship. Or before the abundant sharing is going to be collected in the Macedonia. It's like once a year. And that's what they dealt with. They didn't want to come all that way, take 3 months to get there, and then these guys start trying to collect abundant sharing. Please do this before, so that when we come, we can gather and leave, because we've got to go all the way back, because these guys need it, you know, that kind of thing. But every man, nobody's accepted here. And this is one of the great qualifiers of abundant sharing. Abundant sharing applies to every single Christian. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. This is a matter of the heart. And when you get down to it, believing and living God's word is always a matter of the heart. And loving God with agape is a matter of the heart. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt love agape. Agape, the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. We know that walking with agape, which is a code of conduct, there's 16 characteristics that you're supposed to abide by as a Christian. We know that that is how you manifest agape and how you show that great love to God. And it's a matter of the heart. Well, so is abundant sharing. So you got this room inside where you make all your decisions and you want to be right, like your manifestation was. You want to be right, straight, wide and narrow, it says, he said. But the Bible says the pathway is straight and narrow. In other words, just do the word, right? Do the word and do the abundant sharing. Well, I love that verse, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a million times more. Purpose number three is to care for the men of God. Philippians chapter 4, and I chose this because it so clearly describes what abundant sharing was used for. A third purpose of abundant sharing is to provide for the financial needs of those ministers who labor full and part-time. I receive abundant sharing from the ministry, and I cannot tell you how thankful I am for that. If I didn't have that, I would not be able to do what I do. I would actually be out working. I'd be gone 8 to 10 hours a day, and you wouldn't hear teachings like this. You'd hear some. I try my best. But because you abundantly share, I am able to do what I do. And there is no second opinion on that one. That is the honest to God truth. And I just know it. And I'm so thankful for how you allow God to work in your hearts. This is so beyond just worldly money and that kind of nonsense. I mean, when you bring manna into the picture and God's respect for do it my way, and when you listen to him saying, look, if you only apply it this much, you're only going to see this much happen. Or if you do it this much, you'll see this much happen. But that's not what it's all about. What it's all about is making a heart choice to live according to God's will and to leave the Old Testament and to embrace the brand new. So, Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. The Philippian believers in Philippi. They must have been amazing. I mean, just think what a group of people with God's grace on them was like. You know, we fantasize about Moses in the Old Testament, Mount Sinai, and the finger of God and all these things. But let me tell you, if you could see the grace of God on a group of believers, you would be so taken so beyond what you'd ever see if the Old Testament came alive for you. Because the word grace means favor. And when God says that he wants to put his grace on you, it means he wants to show you that you are his favorite. Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Clearly, we're talking about abundant sharing. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift. It's so far outside of worldly things, which is what I was getting at. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Do you know how excited I am? How thankful I am that I've been able to see you mature in the grace of giving, to see your lives affected by God in His love, in His grace, in His word, because you desired fruit to abound to your account. Fruit of the Spirit, right? Yeah. And fruit of the word, fruit of believing. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. If I didn't have abundant sharing, I know what Paul meant. If I don't have it, I still make it. I will. I know I survive. I always have. I've had these and these in my life, ups and downs. I've lost my wealth 3 times. And I know what it's like to start at the bottom. Okay? And every one of those times, I trusted in God. I was never without Him. So, let come with me. But I know God's on my side. And He's on your side. And you should keep it that way. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And that's why I said that abundant sharing is like making a sacrifice. You stand before the throne of God, you're holding His hand, and you're giving His wealth, His prosperity, His abundance to others. That's what it's all about. And you do it in the church. It's not a free-for-all. You do it in the church. It's for inside the church. That's when it has its effects. It's never really designed to go outside of the church. It may or may not. I mean, we've tried that, but God shuts it down. He just shuts it down. It's amazing. Oh my gosh, I could tell you stories about that. You learn. Paul is reminding the Philippians that they were the only ones who abundantly shared unto his necessity for some time. Do you know, Kyle and I made a decision down there. And Kyle, he walks side by side with me on this stuff. Where we witness to people and we do our best to take care of them, whatever it is. But we learn one thing. Don't give money. Don't give money. No money. No money at all. Somebody starts crying about, oh, I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten in days. And you know what Kyle said to this one person? Because they just keep coming up the next time we're there. He goes, oh, the Bible talks about fasting. It's really good for you. But here, can I share with you how to get born again? And it's the word that we deliver. It's always the word. And if I can, I give a Bible. But that I'd be careful about too. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And those pearls come in a lot of different colors. These people collected their gifts and sent them to Paul in Thessalonica. They did this several times. There may be times when people do not support their leadership, but God will still provide. I've seen that too. So, conclusion of the 3 purposes of abundant sharing. And thank you for bearing with me through this. I know it excites you, and I trust that God's working in your heart to enjoin Him and to be part of everything about Him. Not just some of the things. Not just some desires you may or may not have on a daily basis, or maybe they come up once a month. I don't know. But if you really want to enjoin yourselves to the eternal verities of everything that's laid before you from God, you start. You just start and you join it. You take it. You do it. You walk with it. And God shows you another one. And you just keep throwing them in your backpack. Pretty soon you need a cart. Then you need a dump truck. Then you need a train. But you keep loading up. You keep walking with eternity in mind. So abundant sharing is threefold in purpose. Supplying the needs of the saints by providing equality. promoting many thanksgivings unto God and taking care of the needs of leadership. When each person accepts the invitation into the grace of giving, and that is literally what we have done. I've invited you in now. And that's how I started the seminar with that too. You now have an invitation into the grace of giving. The greatness of this principle will grow into a flourishing movement of God's word. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
The puck's turned itself off here.
Okay, so we're on now. Good. Well, thank you, Jerry. That was awesome. You know, you were recounting back when you were in the Way Corps and you were getting your Associate's of Applied Theology degree. The degree was something that was accumulation of